Greetings and welcome to this special Christmas edition of our English feature programme. Coming up in just a moment, we'll be sharing with you Pope Benedict's Urbi et Orbi blessing and greetings to the City of Rome and to the world. We'll also be joined by the Archbishop of Liverpool in the north of England as he shares his thoughts on the birth of the Saviour in our troubled world today. And we present the second part of our dramatisation of the first Christmas night in Jill Bevilacqua's radio play entitled No Crib for a Bed. We begin then with the Holy Father's Urbi et Orbi blessing, which he gives to the City of Rome and to the world each Christmas Day. Chris Altieri has this report.
Urbi et Orbi is a Latin expression meaning to or for the city and the world. In antiquity, it was the official phrase that began edicts and proclamations that were to be binding not only on the city of Rome, but on the whole world. Now the phrase refers to a solemn blessing the Pope gives on Christmas and Easter, as well as on other rare and very special occasions.
Sancti Apostoli Petrus et Paulus, de quorum potestate doctore confidimus, ips intercedant pro nobis ad Dominum.
Beginning with an invocation of Saints Peter and Paul, on whose ministry the Roman Pontiff's own is founded, the prayer goes on to implore the intercession of Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, Saint Michael, Archangel, Prince of the Heavenly Host, John the Baptist, and all the saints, so that God might show mercy on those who attend the blessing, bringing them to forgiveness of sins and everlasting life in and through Christ. The vocal point of the prayer asks God to grant all those in attendance indulgence, absolution, and remission of all sins, time for a true and fruitful penance, an always repentant heart, and amendment of life, the grace and consolation of the Holy Spirit and perseverance in good works unto the end. The prayer concludes by imploring the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for all those in attendance now and forever.
Et benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et maneat semper.
It has become tradition over the years, and especially at Christmas time, for the Pope to deliver an address before the benediction, in which he notes areas of particular concern to him personally, for the life of the Church and humanity generally. This Christmas was no exception, and the Holy Father chose to concentrate on the universality of God's self-revelation in Jesus Christ.
Oggi è apparso a tutti gli uomini la grazia di Dio nostro Salvatore.
The constant refrain of the Holy Father's address was the truth that God's coming into the world is for all men and women. Praying that the many people who continue to dwell in darkness and the shadow of death might come to know the power of God's saving grace, Pope Benedict asked that the divine light of Bethlehem radiate throughout the Holy Land, where the horizon seems once again bleak for Israelis and Palestinians.
Si diffonda in Libano, in Iraq, e ovunque nel Medio Oriente.
May it spread throughout Lebanon, Iraq, and the whole Middle East, he continued, praying that it might bring forth rich fruit from the efforts of all those who, rather than resigning themselves to the twisted logic of conflict and violence, prefer instead the path of dialogue and negotiation as the means of resolving tensions within each country and finding just and lasting solutions to the conflicts troubling the region. This light, said Pope Benedict, brings transformation and renewal, and is besought by the people of Zimbabwe in Africa, trapped for all too long in a political and social crisis which sadly keeps worsening, as well as the men and women of the Democratic Republic of Congo, especially in the war-torn region of Kivu. Darfur in Sudan and Somalia, whose interminable suffering, said Pope Benedict, are the tragic consequence of the lack of stability and peace. Pope Benedict said children living in those countries are especially waiting this light, as indeed are the children of all countries experiencing troubles, so that their future can once more be filled with hope.
Sono una tragica conseguenza dell'assenza di stabilità e di pace.
The Holy Father went on to say, wherever the dignity and rights of the human person are trampled upon, wherever the selfishness of individuals and groups prevails over the common good, wherever fratricidal hatred and the exploitation of man by man risk being taken for granted, wherever internecine conflicts divide ethnic and social groups and disrupt peaceful coexistence, wherever terrorism continues to strike, wherever the basics needed for survival are lacking, wherever an increasingly uncertain future is regarded with apprehension, even in affluent nations, in each of these places, prayed Pope Benedict, may the light of Christmas shine forth and encourage all people to do their part in a spirit of authentic solidarity.
Andiamo dunque, fratelli. Affrettiamoci come pastore nella notte di Betlemme.
So continued the Holy Father, let us go then, brothers and sisters, let us make haste like the shepherds on that Bethlehem night. God has come to meet us. He has shown us his face, full of grace and mercy. May his coming to us be not in vain. Let us seek Jesus. Let us be drawn to his light, which dispels sadness and fear from every human heart. Let us draw near to him with confidence and bow down in humility to adore him.
Prostriamoci per adorarlo. Buon Natale a tutti.
Following the Urbi et Orbi benediction, the Holy Father offered Christmas greetings to the faithful in dozens of languages, including English.
May the birth of the Prince of Peace remind the world where his true happiness lies, and may your hearts be filled with hope and joy, for the Savior has been born for us.
Thanks there to Chris Altieri reporting on Pope Benedict's Urbi et Orbi blessing. From here in the heart of Rome, we go over now to Liverpool in the north of England, where Archbishop Patrick Kelly shares with us his thoughts on the Word of God coming to our troubled world once again through the birth of the baby in Bethlehem.
Christmas night will find us watching this Word again. There were shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. A holy night, a night of magical memories. But the night is chosen as the first setting for the heralds of good news of great joy, because he comes into our night. And the word is first proclaimed to men of a hard, lonely, not always honest way of life. And the reality we face this Christmas is the threat of a morning after the night before, such a morning that becomes darkest night. The mountain of debt touching families, cities, countries, continents is a terrible hangover, and it is night for hundreds of thousands. Early in December, I was in Valladolid and found that there, together with many cities across Spain, the Christmas lights were not switched on every night, as a sign of the difficulties so many were facing. In this city of Liverpool, we're coming to the end of a responsibility generously and gloriously accomplished to serve as the European Capital of Culture 2008. 2009 could be for us a morning after the night before. But thanks be to God, the Midnight Mass, the Feast of Christmas, of receiving the Word of God, of prayer, of carols of praise, doesn't require us to leave the dark outside. For, as Isaiah will proclaim, it's a people who walked in darkness who have seen a great light. On those who lived in a land of deep darkness, a light has shined. For God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him. Across the centuries, the thrill of such new life coming as a pure gift beyond all deserving has filled many with the Spirit, causing them to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord. That is the source of the great Christmas carols, carols often touched with wonder, and yes, indeed magic, but the Holy Spirit, by whose working comes all life, all holiness, isn't magic or overwhelming force. The night of Christmas is the night of the tone of the voice of God revealed as a baby's cry, a crying that invites us day by day to renewal, repentance, reform, for a Saviour has been born for us, who is Christ the Lord, come to set us free. From hardness of heart, from all in us that oppresses others, all within us that is the seed of bitterness and war, the Prince of Peace calls us to healing and reconciliation. So it is that at this feast we rejoice to celebrate not one birth, but two. For Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, so that in baptism we might receive adoption as children of God, who has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The night of Christmas brings us new birth in the waters of baptism and of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit we receive is that same Spirit that hovered over the formless void and original darkness to accomplish light and beauty. It's the same Spirit who overshadowed the poor, lowly, hungry Mary of Nazareth, and so she conceived and gave birth to the Son of God, the light of the world. And that Holy Spirit in our hearts enables us to be those who do not destroy and despoil and devour the earth, but enjoy and respect and renew the earth. So this night's song promises nothing less than peace on earth. A dark night, but to be transformed into a holy night. The promise, not that the hangover of the morning after the night before, of excess in borrowing and debt, will soon be healed by some sparkling, fizzy, quick fix of a drink, so that happy days are here again. But a morning after the night before that will be healed by wisdom, transparency, integrity, selflessness, generosity, the joy of self-giving. This city of Liverpool will walk on with hope from its year as European capital of culture in this conviction. The secret of the success of 2008 was that spirit which made the city deserve the praise of Jesus. I was a stranger, and you made me welcome. The Saviour born at the Christmas feast makes it possible for us to ensure there is room in the inn for the asylum seeker, those sick, those troubled in body, mind, spirit, those wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan, for families who are fearful at Christmas night, for loved ones in the theatres of war, for prisoners, especially in my case, the prisoners in Walton Prison, Liverpool, with whom in the name of all the church I will celebrate Christmas morning. We shall be those for whom and through whom the day dawns and the morning star arising in hearts, and we wait and hasten a new heaven and a new earth, where goodness, justice, love and truth are at home.
Thanks there to Archbishop Patrick Kelly of Liverpool for that Christmas reflection. And now stay tuned for part two of our radio drama, No Crib for a Bed, written by Jill Bevilacqua.
We present now the second and final part of our Christmas play, No Crib for a Bed. In part one, you heard how a modern grandmother tells her grandchildren of the crib set up by St. Francis of Assisi in Greccio in the year 1223. Then we took you back in time to that year, when Francis was living on a hill above Greccio, and told how the local people wanted him to come down and live with them. Francis asked the lord of the castle, Sir John Velita, to prepare a crib up on the hill with real animals.
And did they really make a crib with live animals up on top of the mountain?
Oh, yes. But they had a few problems getting it organised.
Why was that? Didn't the people want to do it?
Oh, the people thought it was a great idea. Well, the young ones did. Some of the older folk took a little while to come round to it. You know, when you get old, you don't like change. There were those who said they weren't going to climb a mountain just to get to their Christmas mass. And those who said Francis was always getting fancy ideas. And what was wrong with having Christmas just the way they'd always had it? There was a perfectly good church right there in the village.
Yes. What about the parish priest? Did he like the idea?
Well, he grumbled a bit at first. He wasn't a young man, either. But when John told him that the Pope had given Francis permission, well, he couldn't really object then, could he?
And did they take a real manger up there? I mean, or did they have to make one?
Well, no. They used a big boulder that was there. In the cave.
Oh, it was a cave. How exciting. I love caves.
Brr, I don't. I think they're spooky. They have bats and they get in your hair.
Now that's what they call an old wife's tale. Bats are far more afraid of people than the other way round.
Did Francis love bats, Grandma? They say he loved all animals.
Yes, he did. You know, he even used to pick up the worms off the road so people wouldn't tread on them.
Worms? Ugh!
And in the winter, he used to warm wine and give it to the bees.
But tell us about that Christmas night in Greccio, Grandma.
How do we know really what happened?
Well, there was a friar called Thomas of Celano who wrote it all down. You see, St. Francis was such a holy man that only 2 years after he died, he was canonized. That means the Pope declared him a saint. And so, that people would know more about Francis, the Pope asked Brother Thomas, who had been received as a friar by Francis himself, to write the story of his life. And that's how we know what happened that Christmas night in Greccio.
The great day came at last, the time of rejoicing. The friars were summoned from various places, and the men and women of the area all came joyfully, carrying, each according to his possibilities, tapers and torches to brighten up the night.
Soon when we're all together. But here, you take the lantern.
Oh, I wish the others had waited for us.
We'll catch them up. Don't worry.
What's that? It's all right. It's only the shepherd's kid. You behave yourselves, children, or there'll be no sweetmeats for you this Christmas night.
Are you sure this is the way, Martha? I don't remember this path.
Well, it always looks different at night.
There wasn't a path the last time we came this way.
And we were gathering firewood, you mean? But that was a while ago. Sir John's men have been out all this week clearing a way up to the top.
Ah, he's a good man, old Sir John. And he'd do anything for Brother Francis.
That he would. He's a changed man since Francis came to these parts. Now, hold on to me. This is the beginning of the climb.
Have we got to get right to the top?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, I don't know. Mountain climbing at our age. Whoever would have thought it?
Only my old man could see me. If he'd been alive.
He'd have been up there with the first of them.
That's true. He would indeed.
Listen to them.
That's Jack the Carman's voice, surely.
That's right. He and his boys are bringing the ox, or so I heard.
And the friars are going to borrow old Mother Berta's donkey. And how they're going to get the animals up there, I can't imagine. Oh, listen to that. It's not the children this time. That's a screech owl. It's not a good sign.
It's all right. Don't worry. Francis has promised nothing will harm us tonight. And after all, it's Christmas.
But what if the wolves? Oh, there they are. Oh, Martha. Oh, where's my son? He should have joined us by now. Oh, I'm not coming. I'm going back home.
Don't worry, Mom.
Oh, there you are, Guido. Did you hear that? Wolves!
Yes, I did. But you mustn't worry. They're a long way off, and they won't come any nearer.
Oh, come on. Let's go back, Martha.
Now stop being silly, Mother. Francis has given us his word. No beast or bird will harm us tonight.
No. And all the animals love and respect that holy man. And look, there are lights all over the wood now. They say the people are coming from the villages all around.
Yes, and when the wolves see all these lights, they'll keep their distance. They'll think it's a fire. So cheer up, Mother, and follow me. Hold her hand, will you, Martha? Oh. Now, let's see. Ah, yes, here we are, through this thicket, and then up this last bit, and we should soon be there.
Oh, it's getting very steep. Oh, I don't know whether I can get up there. Oh, I've got to stop a minute. Get my breath.
Hold on to me. We're not far from the top now. What's going on over there? Sounds like someone's having trouble.
Isn't that Brother Rufino's voice?
Oh, that friar who never talks to anyone.
Well, he's very shy. But I've heard say that he finds it easier to talk to God than to people. Seems he prays even when he's asleep.
It's lying around here and we're getting nowhere.
Well, he's not praying now. Listen.
That's not Rufino. It's Brother Angelo.
Come on, you lazy beast, get up there.
No, not like that, brother. Francis will be upset if you call her a beast.
Well, that's what she is, Rufino, and she's behaving like one.
Oh,
come on, brother, pull harder or we'll never get up there in time.
I can't pull any harder, brother, she's heavy.
She's not moving at all.
Oh, Angela, I'm slipping. Help, Holy Mother Mary.
Oh, Rufino, whatever possessed Francis to ask you to help me? Give us a hand. Hope you get there. There you are. A wretched creature's gone down again. Here, come back, you she-devil.
Angelo! Oh, holy saints in heaven, forgive him.
Leave the holy saints alone a minute, Rufino. Come down here and help me.
Oh, dear Lord, why did Francis give me this job? I can't see. Where are you, Angelo? My lantern's gone out.
Never mind. Stay where you are. I'll get down to you. If I can persuade this animal to budge. Here, up you come. There's a good girl. Ah, thank the Lord.
Angelo, quick, they're coming! Hurry! The brothers, listen, we'll be late. Francis wants us...
I know what Francis wants, brother, and I'm doing it. Now, be a good fellow and just pull as hard as you can. There. That's it. We're there.
Oh, thanks be to God.
We made it, girl.
Well, I never thought I would. Where's Guido? Oh, he's over there. What a lot of people. Oh, look at that.
What?
Oh,
However did they get the old ox up here?
And look, there's Brother Angelo with a donkey and Brother Rufino.
He looks washed out. He doesn't eat enough.
It's all that praying, I expect. Francis says he's a saint.
Maybe, but even saints have to eat.
Let's get closer, Martha. I want to see.
Come over here. Look, there's the priest. See?
I can't see him.
Hold on to me and stand on that bit of rock. There. Can you see him now?
Oh, yes. Oh, I can see. And there's Sir John Valita and his wife.
Lady Alticama. Well, that's a surprise. I never thought she'd make it up here with her rheumatics.
I expect Sir John had her brought up in a litter.
Oh, look, there's Brother Leo.
Oh, yes, the gentle one.
Francis brings him his little sheep. Did you know that?
What's he holding?
Oh, there you are, children. Can you see all right?
Yes, but why has he got a doll?
It's an image of the Christ child, the holy babe of Bethlehem.
He's talking to Sir John. But where's Francis? Oh, there he is.
Why is he all dressed up?
That's the dalmatic. He's the deacon.
He has to sing the gospel.
Oh, look. They're putting hay on the rock. Is that for the animals? But where are the animals?
That rock's the manger, see?
Oh, they're putting the doll on it.
There are the animals. They're leading them in now.
It's the old ox and Mother Berta's donkey.
Shh, quiet, child. Now they're beginning. Oh, isn't it beautiful, Martha? What a night. What a Christmas it will be.
Aren't you glad now you didn't turn back?
The Holy One of God saw that all had been prepared, and he rejoiced. The manger is there, the hay is brought, the ox and the donkey are led in. There simplicity is honored, poverty is exalted, humility is praised, and Correccio is transformed into a new Bethlehem.
You have been listening to the second and final part of our Christmas play, No Crib for a Bed. Taking part were Arthur Baum, Ken Belton, Julia Cirillo, Sylvia Favor, John Gayford, Abbott Gilbert Jones, Thaddeus Jones, Julian Lovett, Benjamin Marino, Helen Sterling, Frank von Kugelgen, and Veronica Wells. The sound engineer was Gustavo Messina. No Crib for a Bed was written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett in the studios of Vatican Radio in Rome.
Thanks to Jill Bevilacqua, who wrote our Christmas radio drama, No Crib for a Bed. And that's all from us here at the English programme for today. We'll be back at this same time tomorrow, but for now there's just time for me to wish all our listeners, on behalf of us all at Vatican Radio, a very happy and blessed Christmas to you all.